I love all kinds of music. It's really good. It's good for the soul to have good music going in your ears. It's not good for some music, but I like to sing along. I like to hum if I don't know the lyrics, you know. Chris always has music in his room going, and I don't know all the songs that he plays, but I tend to find the melody, and I hum along, you know. I find that I just do that. And if you were to actually look on my iTunes account, you'd see that I like all kinds of music. Pastor Anna kind of gives me a hard time and says that I only have such a narrow viewpoint or narrow listening, but I went through my library, and we've got some songs that are combined, and here are some genres that I like. Now, as I mentioned just the genres, I won't mention bands, but understand that most of this is Christian. I have mostly Christian music, okay? A cappella, like that. I like the quartets. I like alternative. I like blues. I like classical, of course, contemporary Christian. And I like Celtic music. I like dance, techno, electronic. When Pastor Anna and I met, at that point, I had 100 CDs of Christian dance and techno music. So if you are looking to party with Jesus, I got your music. All right, you won't know any of it, but it's something you can tap your foot to. I like folk. I like gospel. I like some hard music, Christian as well, Christian hard music. I like hymns. I like instrumental. I like jazz. I like movie soundtracks. I like oldies, the 50s and 60s, right? The 70s and 80s, you know, aren't that old, but I have some of that. I like pop and, of course, the punk, rap, and rock. Again, mostly Christian. And then R&B, of course, and swing. You know, I like it all. I do. I have a little bit of swing, and I think the marching band this year is going to do some really cool stuff. So, you know, what I enjoy most, though, as far as music, is worship music. That's my absolute favorite. I grew up with hymns and even the early days of choruses. You remember that? Just the old choruses, very repetitive. Gets in your head. I think that's why it comes back to my mind so easily, because it's repetitive. And I was a young adult when churches started writing what we call more modern worship music, where there's verse and chorus and bridges and stuff like that. Well, worship music helps me keep my focus on God instead of my problems. When everything else is changing, God isn't. He's faithful, consistent, and ever-present God. He gives mercy, strength, forgiveness, and hope. I can't imagine my life without him. I can't imagine my life without songs. There have been a couple times in my life where God has given me a specific song for a season. It might be a good time, it might be a bad time, but that song has just resonated and stuck with me, and now it's one of my favorite songs. Continues to minister to me. But I want to let you in on a little Thorson family secret. You want in on a secret? An inside joke, really. So there's a station called K-Love. If you haven't discovered it, you can listen to it now at 89.5 FM. They've got a tower out of Fort Dodge, so you can listen to K-Love. It's contemporary Christian music. It's good stuff, and we've been listening to this since before Eli was born, this station called K-Love. Now, the only problem that we have with that is that they tend to play songs over and over. So if you've been listening to them here lately since they've been in Fort Dodge, you'll notice that too. So when Pastor Anna and I, we start playing a song that's really ministering to us, or that we've really, you know, clicked in our hearts, our spirits, or we really just like, we play it over and over, and somebody in our family usually pipes up, "Mom, Dad, you're K-loving that song." Means we're listening to it too much. We're playing it over and over, and it's kind of led to the phrase, "I love that song so much, I K-love it." We play it over and over. But throughout the Bible, music was a huge part of Jewish life and culture. They expressed their emotions, their situations, and their prayers in song. They sang in worship. They sang in difficulty. There was a song for specific things, like when a baby was born, when somebody died, in Thanksgiving, in times of sorrow. They sang when they were attacking an enemy, and they sang when they were being attacked by an enemy. God's people always had a song. But in the passage that we're going to look to here in God's Word, his people lost their own song. So the sermon series is called Lost and Found. So if you feel like you've lost your song, this message is for you. It kind of carries over from last week. We talked about joy and smile. Now is the time for you to realize joy, for you to put a smile on your face, to get into the music that God has for you and live the life that God intends for you to have. In the Old Testament, we find the history of Israel, and it's really a roller coaster relationship that they have with God. They're hot for a while, then they get cold. When they face an enemy, they turn to God, but then when times were good, they take their foot off the gas and they start ignoring God, and they worshiped idols. And they went through that cycle over and over again. It's called the cycle of apostasy. Then one day, God just had enough, and he let them go through some punishment. Now, if this sounds familiar to you, good job. You've been paying attention, because a few weeks ago, I preached on Jeremiah and his lamenting over the fall of Jerusalem and the exile to Babylon. So Habakkuk, he was another prophet. He ministered during the same time, and he actually prophesied ahead of the exile. He prophesied that God would use the Babylonians to capture and discipline Israel. And God used both prophets to warn Israel, but it seemed through Habakkuk that his warning was really stern. If you just read through that, you can see overall that it's God is basically saying, if you don't obey me, you will get punished. That seems like a pretty pointed statement, but the Israelites didn't listen. They went on doing things their own way. We know that the result was disaster. God's people weren't just defeated in battle, they were destroyed. God's people were taken into captivity. Life was horrible, it was miserable and unfair. God's people were far from God's land. They were captive as slaves. They were treated as possessions. And every day, I'm sure they woke up thinking, man, we shouldn't be here. We blew it. Why didn't we listen to God? I'm sure they missed home. I'm sure they missed the songs that they used to sing. I'm sure that it was a very depressing time. So that's the setting for Psalm 137. And you can turn there in your Bible, Psalm 137. Bible scholars believe the people in this psalm were priests who lived their whole lives singing songs of worship in the temple. But now, being in Babylon, they didn't want to sing anymore. They lost their song. It's a sad place to be. I can't imagine getting to the point in my life where I can't sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," or "It is well." But that's where they were. They lost their song. So Psalm 137 tells the story of this lost song. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. Zion's just another name for Jerusalem, the holy city. Verse 2, there on the poplars we hung our harps. See, they threw in the towel. They hung their harps in the trees. That was a statement that they were not going to play them anytime soon. The players sat, the singers cried. The Israelites put their instruments aside, and again, this isn't just one person, this is collective as a nation, and as worship leaders, they put their harps in the trees. They all lost their song. See, missing what you used to have can steal your song. When you focus on where you used to be, what you used to have, and what should have been, if only I had done this, if only I hadn't done that. If you're caught in the what ifs and the only ifs, it's difficult to move forward.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this.
What are you doing?
That's what I'm talking about.
I better go.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Yeah. If Coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro. In a heartbeat, I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
And he's lost in the thought of what if. And I know Brent gave a message just a couple years ago, and I think you probably used the clip, but that was the whole point. What ifs get you nowhere, only ifs. You know, what used to be, you can miss what God is doing right now when you're caught up in the past. So, continuing on in our verse, or passage here, Psalm 137. There on the poplars we hung our harps. Verse 3, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. The Babylonians weren't saying, hey, you guys are great singers. You're such great instrumentalists. We want to hear what you're playing, what you can do. This was trash talk. They were taunting them. And they were really saying, where was your great God when we destroyed your city and took you captive? Where's your God now? Sing now, singers. Come on, choir boys. Let's hear a song about the power of the Lord. Let's hear how faithful he is. He sure doesn't look faithful to us now. Or they'd say, you know, get your instruments. Sing us one of your songs about how great Zion is. Oops, I mean how great Zion was. You know, ooh, that's trash talking. These enemies can steal your song. They shouldn't, but it happens. When kids at school are mean, insulting, or put you down, maybe it's coworkers. When you're afraid to get on social media because you feel like people are going to say hateful things. Enemies can steal your song when you get a difficult report from the doctor. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're facing an enemy that just looks way bigger than you. When you're trying to break free from addictions and habits, but they have a hold on you. And the people that should be around you, supporting you, mock you or give you a hard time. Well, we'll see how long this lasts. Might as well give up now. Go back to the way things were, they might say. The voice of the enemy tells you, you don't fit in. You're an outcast. No one wants you or needs you. When you're facing an intimidating enemy, it's easy to lose your song. You just think, how can I sing? How can I worship? That's what the Israelites said. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? How can we sing when we're in this situation? With everything that's going on, how can we sing? It's an understandable response when life takes an unexpected turn. How can we sing when you've lost your spouse, your life partner is gone? You feel so lonely, you lose your song. When there's no answer for your health, you've prayed and prayed and prayed, and still you're waiting for your healing. When friends have turned against you or just simply nowhere to be found. When the dream God put in your heart long ago hits yet another roadblock, you can lose your song. When you relapse in addiction, it's easy to lose your song. When you've prayed for years for your child to come to Jesus and then only to find out that he or she has done something horrible and just proven how far away from the Lord they are. When you failed again, you can lose your song. Sometimes it's not one big thing, it's all the challenges and pressures of life. It takes so much energy to stay strong and to keep trying to succeed that you slowly lose your song. The Israelites cried and sat there in their sorrow. They were depressed. They quit singing. But their song really wasn't stolen. They quit singing because their circumstances were difficult. Worship just didn't seem to fit. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're kind of there now in a season in your life where the worship team starts playing and you start thinking, oh, how long does this have to go on? Can't wait till they're done. Well, here's what to do when you've lost your song. sing. Sing again. Lift up your voice and sing. Sing in spite of your enemies, in spite of what other people are saying to you or telling you. Sing in spite of your circumstances, those things that are so uncontrolled, outside of your control. You have no control over it. Sing anyway. Sing in spite of everything you've lost and that used to be. Sing. Don't allow anything or anyone to steal your song, and keep singing. Let's look at Isaiah 51. It's one of many chapters where God gives his people a message. And this time it was delivered by the prophet Isaiah to the Israelites while they were still in captivity with their song long gone. So if you've lost your song, if you find it difficult to worship, I want you to receive these next few words as God's words to you. Listen to me. You who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was only one man, and I blessed him and made him many. God says, take your eyes off your situation. Don't listen to the people that are around you. Remember how I've helped you in the past. Remember where you came from. Remember that you are mine. And receive his promise that goes on. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. God says to you, I am compassionate. I'm your comforter in times of trouble. Everything that's been taken away by the enemy, I will restore. What looks done and finished and settled is not done. It's not over yet. There's still hope. He's saying to you, I love you. I know you, and I have a plan for you. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Now keep in mind, the situation for the Israelites hadn't yet changed. Situation hadn't changed. This word from God was given while the Israelites were still captive in Babylon. And so God told his people who had lost their song, it's time to find your song. Since you know me, you know my history, my compassion, pick up your harps and start singing again. Sing in spite of the circumstance. Sing with joy and gladness, not because of what's happening now, but because of what's going to happen. Sing with thanksgiving because I am going to deliver you. You can trust him. And we get it backwards. We want to say, well, I'll sing when I'm through the situation. I'll sing after my problem has been solved. I'll sing after I get my healing. That's not exactly how God wants it. Don't wait. Do it now. In the deepest, darkest moments of your life, sing. When it looks done and over, sing. When all seems lost and it looks like the enemy is winning, sing. Don't just sing because you won the victory. Sing because you're going to get the victory. Sing through your storm. Sing through that trial that you're going through. Sing through the trouble. Sing. Sing in joy, even when you're struggling to have joy. Isaiah continued with the word from the Lord. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But here it is. My salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Praise the Lord for that. My salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. We serve a God who never fails, and his righteousness never fails. His mercy and his love go on and on and on. But there's more. Hear me, you who know what's right, you people who have taken my instruction to heart. Do not fear the reproach of mere mortals or be terrified by their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will devour them like wool, but my righteousness will last forever, my salvation through all generations. God says, those enemies that are holding you captive, that are taunting you, trash-talking you, the problem that seems bigger than even I, they're not going to hold you captive for long. I have a plan for them, the Lord says. So don't let their angry words get the best of you. Don't let them steal your song because they aren't going to last. My salvation extends from generation to generation. My righteousness is forever. If you're getting beat up by your enemies, you need to let it solidify in your heart and your spirit this truth that your enemies will not survive. Your God will be with you forever. He survives. He goes on forever. Let's drop down to verse 11. Those that the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. God said to the captive Israelites, you're not going to be in Babylon forever. You will return to the land, from the land of your enemy. You will go home. I will fully restore you. And when you return, you won't be walking with your heads down, dragging those harps. You'll return with singing and joy. Sadness and sorrow and sighing, that'll be long gone. You will have joy. You will have your song if you look to him. So you might as well start singing now because the Lord is giving you everything back. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you fear mere mortals, human beings who are but grass, that you forget the Lord your maker, who stretches out the heavens and who lays the foundations of the earth, that you live in constant terror every day because of the wrath of the oppressor who is bent on destruction? For where is the wrath of the oppressor? The cowering prisoners will soon be set free. They will not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. For I, the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you with the shadow of my hand. I who set the heavens in place, who laid the foundations of the earth, who say to Zion, you are my people. God said, start singing now. The enemies who surround you are nothing compared to me. Keep that in mind. You will be set free. He's saying, I am the one who makes the oceans roar. I put the heavens in place and created the earth. I've declared that you are my people. I will not leave you or forsake you. I love you and I've called you by name. So get up, wake up, maybe even buck up, but it's time to sing. It's time to celebrate. I am God and I will deliver you, is what he's saying to you. So sing while you're in trouble and sing your way out of trouble because you serve a God who's bigger than every and any trouble you could get into. It's time to find your song and sing. Now, some of you might remember a news story from several years ago about a 9 or 10-year-old boy. He found himself in a song-stealing situation, but he didn't let that stop him from singing.
A 10-year-old is abducted from right in front of his home in Atlanta, Georgia, only to be released a few hours later. And you will not believe how he got the kidnapper to let him go. Trace Gallagher knows. Trace?
He did it by singing, Megan. It really has become the song heard around the world, and police say it may very well have saved the life of 9-year-old Willie Myrick. Willie says he was in his front yard. He bent down to pick up some money, and that's when someone grabbed him, threw him in their car, and took off. Listen now to 9-year-old Willie Myrick.
I didn't know what he was doing until he, grabbed me, and he drove me off to East Point. He told me he wouldn't hear a word from me, so I ain't say nothing.
Oh, he didn't talk. Instead, he started singing a gospel song called Every Praise. Willie says the man cursed at him, telling him to shut up, but he kept singing for 3 hours until the man finally stopped the car and told him to get out. The boy ran to a nearby home, asked the homeowner to call his guardian. By that time, police were already canvassing the city and quickly picked him up, saying the song saved him. Now, listen to Willie sing the song on a local radio station.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
He was saying, shut up.
Yeah.
Everybody's heard it. Willie Myrick even got to meet Hezekiah Walker, the Grammy winner who actually wrote Every Praise. Police still do not have any leads on the suspect. They're hoping the sketch we showed you earlier might generate some tips in this case.
Unbelievable. I love him. I want to know Willie.
Well, Megan, you need to know Jesus, because that's who Willie trusted. He's saying every praise is to our God, and that became a song of deliverance in his life. He worshiped his way to freedom. I'm going to pray real quick, and we're going to close a little bit differently today. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you speak this word to us. And even though it was written to the Israelites in the Old Testament, we know that we are your children too. Of course, that you have a plan for us, that you love us, and we hold to these promises as well, being your children, being saved by Jesus, your Son. Thank you that we all have that opportunity to experience this freedom, Lord. I pray that this morning we would find our song. As we go out throughout this week, Lord God, that we would be aware of the songs in our lives, Lord, that if we are listening to things that are bringing us down or depressing or just not good for our souls and our spirits, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to turn that off, that we would turn on good things, and that we would sing songs of joy, that people around us would know that we are different because of the joy that we have, even in the middle of our troubles, in our trials, in our tribulations. Even though we struggle, Lord God, we know that we can have joy because you give it. You give the joy. So give us the song as well, in Jesus' name.